Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
You see, Paul is making it clear that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, God is making it obvious that Jesus is no mere prophet, no mere miracle worker or guru. He is the Christ. He is Lord of all. There is no one higher, no one else who is able to take you to heaven when you die. Only Jesus.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In Philippians, we've learned that Jesus, who is God, came down from the highest place in heaven to the lowest place on earth. But why did he do it? Today on The Verdict, we're finding out why he came and gaining a deeper understanding of what it means to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson.
Last time I emphasized the primary mission of Jesus coming to earth. He came to seek and to save the lost. You may not think that you're lost, but isn't it the case that you experience, at least from time to time, a gnawing emptiness, a restlessness? What is life really about? Does anyone care? To these very important questions, the answer of the Christian gospel is clear. We are lost. We've wandered away from God, and often we experience these feelings of hopelessness and even desperation. But God, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, has come into the world to deliver us, to forgive us, to give us a purpose. So I trust that your faith is placed in the Lord Jesus. The living Christ will save you.
Now, here's the first thing I want you to learn about Jesus, and it's very, very important. That Jesus came, that is, from heaven to earth, He came to seek and to save you. I want you to get that. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save you. If you have your Bible there, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing to a little church at Philippi where there was this unity, and he's telling them to be humble, to have a humble attitude and an attitude of service. And then he explains, or rather gives us, this wonderful, powerful illustration, the supreme illustration of true humility. Philippians 2 then, verse 5, he says, have this attitude, that is, this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now here is very profound truth that blows the mind. But Paul is saying that Jesus, who is God, who is eternally God, came into this world. He eternally exists as God. He is eternally equal with God because he is God. Yet, says Paul, God the Son did not use his divine rights and privileges as God for self-advantage. That is, Jesus Christ came from the highest and came down and down and down. Why did he come? Listen to his own words from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus says, for the Son of Man, referring to himself, his humanity and his deity, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Did you get that? He is searching for you. He seeks to save you, to forgive your sins. He seeks to transform you. He's on a search mission, and he describes us in this rather unflattering of ways, but a very realistic ways, as lost. Spiritually speaking, we're lost. Our search takes us in the wrong direction. Instead of taking us to God, our own search leads us away from God. And so we're like lost sheep, each of us going our own way. And this is why Jesus Christ comes, to intercept us on a rescue mission. And so Paul can say in 1 Timothy 1 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save, can I use a politically incorrect term? To save sinners. To save sinners. And he does this in love. You are greatly loved by God. You are significant to God. I don't know about your experience of human love, whether that has been good or bad, but I can tell you this, that God loves you and you are valued by God, and God has loved you so much that His Son comes on this rescue mission to save you from your spiritual lostness. Not only to save you, but to guide you through all of life so that you would fulfill the purposes that God has for you, He who created you. He has an incredible plan for you, and He comes to earth to seek and to save you. Now, how does He accomplish His plan? On Calvary's cross, Christ died for our sins and rose again. Notice that the Christian faith is not just that Jesus Christ died. No, the gospel message, New Testament Christianity, is that Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. That must mean that before there is salvation for you and me, there must be an acknowledgement that we've blown it, that we have sinned. All of us, the Bible says, without exception, have sinned. All on the same level ground. We like to make differences between each other, but God says, really, there's no difference. All have sinned. Doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, your background, whether you're rich or poor. All of us are in the same dilemma. All of us have sinned. And please hear this. All of us, therefore, need God's forgiveness. Our sin is against God, and then, therefore, only God can forgive our sins. Reflect on this offer of forgiveness, which comes to you from the risen Christ. See, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. When you break the law, there is a penalty. We break the law of God, and the penalty, the wages of breaking that law, says the Bible, is death. But in the wonder, in the mystery of the gospel, in God's great love, our Lord Jesus Christ comes, He who exists in the form of God, He comes down and down, obeying the Father's will, dying on the cross, not for His own sins. He is sinless, He is God, He's holy, He's pure, but He dies in our place and He pays the penalty for our sin. And He's the only one who can pay the penalty for your sin. He is a just God, and God can't ignore sin. He has come in His sinlessness. He's come down, 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 dies on the cross, pays the penalty for your sin. And you, sir, and you, madam, know that you've committed sin. I don't need to know all about it, but God knows that each one of us has sinned. And Jesus Christ pays the penalty for our sins. He dies our death. We deserve to die because of our sin. He is our substitute and pays the penalty for our sins. And now, to demonstrate that He's God, to demonstrate that He is victorious over death, over hell, over the devil, over the forces of darkness, He rises from the dead and now says, if you come to Me and receive My salvation, I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. I will indwell you. I will save you. I will transform your life. And when you die, you will be for all of eternity with Me. That's the offer of the gospel. Someone says, but Pastor, my sins are enormous. I've done more than speed and break a speed limit. Of course, your sins are enormous. But the cost of forgiveness is enormous. Jesus Christ paid the price. I could never pay the price of your sins. I can't pay the price of my own sins. If I lived to be a million years, I could never atone for my own sins. And I certainly can do nothing to forgive your sins. But Jesus Christ shed His precious blood so that the cost of forgiveness is enormous. But it comes to you freely. Isn't that wonderful? Freely. You don't have to do a thing. All you do is to accept Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. You say, how is this possible? Paul is going to tell us that this Christ who dies in weakness is raised from the dead and is given all power and authority. Once He's despised, once He's crucified, but now He is exalted to the highest place in the whole universe. The one who was rejected on earth is now accepted in heaven by His Father and His God. The one who is ridiculed by all is now to be confessed by all. Why? Because He's risen. He's alive. And He's victorious. And He's Lord of all. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ raises Christianity above all other religions. Jesus Christ on that third day was bodily and physically raised from the dead. That's not legend. That's not religious myth. That's not fantasy. That is historical fact. The tomb is empty. Hundreds of people saw the risen Christ. His disciples, who were so fearful after his death, once they saw the risen Christ, filled with his spirit, become the most bold and courageous of men as they declare that there is only salvation in this name, the name of Jesus risen from the dead. And our Savior himself says in Revelation 1, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of what? Of death and of hell. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only he could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. You see, your relationship with Jesus Christ, the living Christ, determines your eternal destiny. Now read with me further in verses 9, 10, and 11, where we will see that not only does Jesus Christ come to seek and to save us, he must be personally acknowledged and confessed as Lord by you. Verse 9, therefore also God highly exalted him. We could translate that super exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. Paul, having described Christ as pouring out himself and humbling himself, now deals with the exaltation of our Savior. The name Jesus is the earthly name given to him. It means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. And it is at this name, the name of Jesus, Paul is saying, which is above every name. And it is at that name that every knee shall bow. Why that name? Because of his uniqueness. Because of what he has done. The Father has raised his Son from the dead. He is now exalted, occupying the position of divine honor and glory in heaven. You see, Paul is making it clear that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, God is making it obvious that Jesus is no mere prophet, no mere miracle worker or guru or teacher of ethics. He is the Christ. He is Lord of all. There is no one higher, no one mightier, no one else able to forgive you, no one else who is able to take you to heaven when you die. Only Jesus. Your response? Verse 10, today acknowledge Jesus as Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. See, Paul is saying that one future day, every knee, including yours, will bow to his authority and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. He says that will happen to those who are in heaven, including the holy angels and the redeemed believers already in heaven. Also those who are on the earth, which will include believers and unbelievers. Those who are under the earth, referring to the fallen angels and unbelievers who are awaiting their final punishment. The point is that everyone in the universe, including atheists and skeptics and unbelievers and pagans, all of them will one day bow to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. The point is this today, will you humbly, voluntarily acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Will you today bow the knee to our Lord Jesus? You say, what does it mean to bow before him? I think you can understand that. You bow before a king, acknowledging that he is sovereign, that he is greater. We bow before Jesus, the King, our Lord, in worship, in adoration. He is the greatest. There is none higher. Acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. You're trying to run your own life? Don't we all do that? Wanting to be boss? Think you know better than God? Trying to do things your own way? You think that the way for fun and joy and fulfillment are going contrary to God's will? You're on a disaster course. God has made you for a purpose. And your life will never be what God intends it to be until you bow the knee before him and confess that he is Lord. Not only do you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, verse 11, you confess Jesus as Lord, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Trying to make a name for yourself, glorify yourself, or today will you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You will have your sins forgiven. You will have eternal life. Will you do that? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, in a sense, there's a choice. You can do that voluntarily now, today, or, listen carefully, you can do it in a future day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to reign with power and might. In a sense, then, it is too late, because then even his enemies will be vanquished and they will be forced to acknowledge, because of his power and his might and his glory, which today is veiled, in all of its fullness will come, and the whole universe will acclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. One of England's kings, Charles I, on January 30, 1649, was executed by the English Parliament. The English Parliament brought King Charles I before them and tried him for treason. He said he did not acknowledge the authority of the English Parliament. He believed in the divine right of kings. That is, that the king is law, that the king is above the law, that what the king says is law, and by definition, what the king says, therefore, is always right. And the English Parliament says no. And you have committed treason against the people of England. And they brought him, and they tried him, and they passed judgment on him, death. He didn't recognize it, but they executed him. See, the fact that he didn't recognize the authority of the court did not mean that he escaped the judgment of the court. And the fact that you today do not recognize that Jesus is Lord, that you do not recognize that he is Lord over all, and you say, no, I will not confess Jesus as Lord. I'm not going to bow my knee. I'm going to live my own life. I'm the master of my own destiny. Yes, you as a human being have that choice, but please understand that you will be forced to do it under his mighty power before you go into eternal judgment. This is why this message is so important, that God has made us for a higher purpose. The call of God is that boys and girls and teens and men and women, whoever you are, will come and voluntarily open their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ and say, I've sinned. Thank you for dying on the cross. Save me and transform me. And that those of us who profess to be followers of Christ will understand that there are areas in our life where we have not submitted to his lordship. That's why this morning I'm calling for a response from each of you. Are you still searching? Your search is over. Believe that Christ came to seek and to save you. Trust him today as your Savior. Stop running away. Some of you have evaded this message for too long. You've been on the periphery. In some ways, you're attracted to Christ, but you only want a little bit of Jesus. This passage is reminding us that this is God and he's Lord of all. And I'm saying to you, I'm pleading with you to come to Christ, who will transform your life, who will save you from your sins, who will take you to heaven, and who will guide you through all of life. Now, I know many of you here profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this penetrating question. Don't answer it too quickly. Have you submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ over every aspect of your life, or just some part of it? Here's a young man, a young woman. You say, well, years ago, right here at church, at VBS, I received Christ as my Savior. That's wonderful. But what about your life now? Isn't it the case that you've wandered away? And there's areas of your life, dark areas of your life, you wouldn't like your parents to know about, you wouldn't like your pastor to know about, or even your friends to know about, but God knows about it. Today, will you submit to his lordship? Here is a businessman sitting here. You say, I'm a Christian businessman. That's wonderful to hear, sir, but isn't it the case that the way that you do business, the way you behave when you're out of town, is very much inconsistent with living under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Isn't it time to break from that pseudo-cultural Christianity and see if it is true that Jesus Christ is Lord, risen from the dead? If that is really true, I need to bow before his authority. You know, if you're in the military, you don't come to your commander-in-chief and say, well, I'll only follow some of your commands. There's other commands, if I don't like them, sir, I will not obey. The military doesn't work like that, does it? No, you follow the command from the commander-in-chief. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Every area of life, our home, our thought life, our pleasures, our relationships, our ministry, everything under his control. Isn't it time some of you got right with God and stopped playing around and stopped saying things with your lips that you're denying with your life? Why not humble yourself and come and kneel before this living Christ and rededicate your life in an act of holy consecration to the risen Christ, because every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And if you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior and Lord, I'm inviting you to come. You need to realize that you can't save yourself, that you've sinned, that you've come short of God's glory. And the only way into heaven is not through your self-efforts. It's not through finding a little God within. It's not by being a good person. It's by realizing that you've got nothing in your hands but your own sin, and you cling to the cross of Christ and say, Christ, come and save me. He came to seek and to save you. The price is paid. Come now and receive Christ. Don't be too proud to come, to bow and receive Christ as your Savior. There is no name higher. There is no person greater. Submit to him. He will save you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive your sins and take you to heaven when you die. The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Saying this prayer doesn't save you, but if this reflects the attitude of your heart, will you pray it with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking all of my sin away. I believe that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, risen from the dead. I now receive you as my Savior and Lord. Help me, Lord, to live a life pleasing to you as I follow you. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Jesus Christ is Lord. John will be right back, but in case you missed any part of this lesson, feel free to visit our website and listen online at theverdict.org. Remember, you can take each of these daily messages with you wherever you go by subscribing to The Verdict podcast. And this ensures that you won't miss John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. Each week, John addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And before we wrap up today's program, we hope you'll take a moment to visit the website and request your free copy of John's helpful new booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. This very practical guide offers a clear biblical understanding of sin, explains how different sins can manifest in our lives, and shares how you can overcome these sins by placing your trust in Jesus Christ. So don't wait. Download or request your free copy of the book Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters today by going online to theverdict.org. On our homepage, you can also sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. And while you're online, we want to invite you to take a new step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of this radio ministry. You can join our efforts to share God's word by sending a financial gift of any amount. And we've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ calls for a verdict, a response. He's the Son of God, eternally alive, and you are going to have to deal with him, either now or in eternity. Yes, I want you to bow your knee to him now and confess that Jesus is Lord over all. I'm praying that even now, as you listen to this broadcast, your eyes will be opened to see the majestic Lord Jesus Christ. There's none higher. and yet he came to seek and to save the lost.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.